All right, hello and welcome to the GGG podcast. I'm Paul and I'm joined by nobody. Unfortunately, Phil is not going to be able to be with me this week. He's off on a camping trip, so hope you have fun out there, Phil. And so I'm going to be riding solo for this week. We considered skipping this week, but I wanted to put something out just to make sure you guys had something for the weekend for the gaming news-aholics out there like myself who are staying up to date with everything going on in the industry. Yeah, so I'm going to be going solo. It's probably going to be a little bit shorter pod episode. So we're going to talk about a lot of varying news topics. Probably won't get into a main topic because I like those things to be kind of discussions between Phil and I so we get different perspectives and it's not just, a bubble. So we're just going to be going through some news, a good amount of news to actually talk about this week. So I am excited to dive in. But first, let's start out with like what I've been playing this week, probably similar to what a lot of people have been playing this week, which is a lot of Helldivers, or should I say a lot of people have been trying to play Helldivers if they can get past the login screen. So a lot of frustration coming from gamers in the community with the Helldiver servers. Let's talk about it now. So I've been loving Helldivers. I have had some server issues, particularly last weekend. Hopefully by this upcoming weekend, they will largely be solved. But I will say over the last couple of days, trying to get in has been much easier. So hopefully other people are having similar luck as I am. Still, quick play is a little all over the place, but as long as I can get in, as long as I can group up with a friend or two, like I feel like I'm having a good time in Helldivers. But it has been all the rage. Everything I've been seeing on all social media platforms has been people talking about Helldivers to the point that I actually saw Dr. Disrespect thinks that people are being paid to talk about Helldivers and to play Helldivers, which doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me as like their servers are full. Why would they be paying more people to log on and play their game? Like the head of the studio came out and said, you know what? If you're really excited for Helldivers, wait a couple weeks and then buy it when the servers are fixed so you can really enjoy and appreciate that. So I'm really happy the game is doing so well. Phil and I talked about it on the last pod. Like, the game has just that fun factor. It has that war factor. I think, like, as a game as a service, having the Galactic War is incredible. And it actually, you know, it feels like you're interacting with the universe, even in a very, very small capacity. So I think that's awesome. And I'd like to point out for people who are not fully understanding the server issues that Helldivers and Arrowhead is having, it's not just a question of they need more server space. That's not what's happening. If that was the question, they could go to another company who has servers, or they could go to Sony and be like, hey, we need more server space. Can you help us out? We're trying to keep up with demand. And then they would get more server space. The problem is more complicated than that. The problem is that the game was not designed to hold that many people. So it's not just a question of server space. It's that they need to redesign certain things on their end, on how the game works, particularly with the Galactic War, like I was just talking about. The Galactic War was not set up to account for 500,000 to 1,000,000 players. And so they have to go in and they have to figure out, okay, how do we actually make the Galactic War so that everyone is having an effect on it, and so that our Galactic War system isn't crashing when we have so many people contributing and participating in this activity. So it's kind of a little bit of a design issue, which I have faith that they will fix. It is a great game, and you know, I think a lot of reviews came out for it. Everybody's been giving it like 9 out of 10, or close to a 10. And I think really the server issues are the only thing that's keeping it from being a 10. I know some people aren't in love with the movement, but I kind of like it because it makes you feel like a regular soldier and not, you know, Master Chief, or not a, you know, a Warhammer Space Marine, or, you know, some sort of superhero. You're just a guy. You're just a guy in a suit of armor, and, you know, yeah, you're very, very fragile. But all right, enough about Helldivers. I've been playing some other stuff as well. You know, dipped my toes back into PAL World. Still trying to get to that level 50. It's been difficult, and, you know, maybe some of you have had some similar experiences with trying to play and get to the max level in Power World. I know some people have, like, you know, got Jet Dragon and all those elite pals, but it is time consuming. And, like, as soon as I've heard a lot of people talk about this, as soon as you get your flying mount in Power World, like, you kind of become more obsessed with exploration as opposed to, like, catching pals. And catching pals is ultimately how you get all of your experience in the game. Aside from, like, okay, well, we can, you know, we can go and fight these groups of enemies. Or if there's, you know, people invading the base, you can get some experience that way. But, yeah, largely it's catching pals. And so if you're in the 40 level, I would say even the 30 level and up slump, of, like, you're not leveling up anymore, it's like, just get out there and catch some more pals, and hopefully that'll you know, help you out. So real quick, I wanted to give a shout out to somebody, to Chapman 1886. Shout out to Chapman, who commented on our last pod. He said he really liked the discussion. Really appreciate that, Chapman. He said he was thinking about buying Helldivers 2, and I still heavily would recommend buying Helldivers 2. I am sorry if you are experiencing the server issues. I'm sure as soon as they are done, you will have so much fun with the game. So sorry if you bought that and then got a servers at capacity screen. So I feel a little bad, but not, you know, it's a good game. You will enjoy it, I promise. So anyway, all right, let's get into some of the news for this week. And coming off of what I was just talking about, PAL World has officially hit 25 million players. So it's not concurrent active players. There's been a bit of a fall off with the active players in PAL World, probably from that slump I was just talking about. But it has sold at least 25 million copies, which is incredible for them. I hope that the company is able to really capitalize on its success. And I also hope that the company is able to continue updating the game and probably hire some more experienced people to help with you know, some more intricate aspects of making the game, you know, fun and accessible, and just a lot of, it's still an early access game. Everybody loves it, but it's still very glitchy at the same time. And, you know, Helldivers has been having trouble with servers, but PAL World's been having trouble with servers as well. So servers seem to be a problem for February for whatever reason. So if you're a huge PAL World fan, you've jumped off the Pokemon bandwagon, good for you guys. 25 million is nothing to scoff at. That's a lot of sales. So that is incredible. Moving on in the news, we got our first look at Peacemaker in Mortal Kombat 1. We got our first character trailer that I think actually came out the morning of when I'm recording this, and looks pretty good. He's very quirky, obviously, but then again, you know, so is this Peacemaker show. So is, you know, casting John Cena as Peacemaker. He's a very quirky guy. You know, he's got his technological helmet, and I'm as I usually am with Mortal Kombat character trailers, I'm always very impressed by how much they've taken from the original content and implemented that into the game. And so, like, seeing Omni-Man, for example, like, do the I'm going to hold somebody and bash them through a train, or have a train bash through them. You know, that's directly from the show. They put it directly into Mortal Kombat. And seeing all of the little things that were in the Peacemaker show and are now, you know, in the Mortal Kombat game, I talked to Phil about this a couple of episodes ago about how I really wanted to see Eagly incorporated into the game. And Eagly is in the game. Your pet eagle as Peacemaker does help you fight, and it even looks like Eagly has a couple of like grapples, like where they like take their talons, latch on, and you know, do horrible things. So that's exciting. You know, I've voiced my concerns about the prices for these characters and Warner Brothers continued, you know, games as a service microtransaction kind of hole that they put themselves in. So unfortunately, this is probably something that I'm going to wait until a character pack like goes on sale and I can enjoy all these characters at once, like a year from now. But I'm probably not going to be picking these up as individual purchases. So, but people who are really into Mortal Kombat 1, people who are really into DC, you know, I'm a big fan of Injustice. So I'm excited for Injustice 3, whenever that, is, you know, and whenever we get a trailer for that. So, and curious as to whether Peacemaker will be in Injustice 3, and to what angle they're going to take with that. So it looks like a cool trailer for fans of Peacemaker. Go out there, get them, play as them, enjoy. All right, moving right along. Dead Island 2 has been announced to come to Game Pass. This has been kind of coming off of not selling very well. You know, I feel like Dead Island 1 is kind of a cult classic. And I really enjoyed Dead Island 1. I didn't get a chance to play all of the DLC that eventually came out for it. And I'm a big zombie game guy. So like back in the day, like Left 4 Dead was my jam. I really tried to get on the Back 4 Blood train, or tried to get my friends to do it, even though the game wasn't really that good. So like I love a good zombie game, but I guess I've kind of fallen off of these, you know, single player first person zombie experiences. And that's exactly what Dead Island 2 is, although you could throw a little bit of Mirror's Edge in there because the platforming is so refined and intricate. So it didn't really sell well, especially this holiday season. And so it makes a lot of sense that it's coming to Game Pass. And this is probably the biggest game coming to Game Pass next month. So, you know, very exciting for people who are subscribed to Game Pass. I know Phil, my co-host, is a very big advocate of Game Pass, and so, you know, I'm sure he'll be picking it up and playing it. But yeah, let's just keep knocking these off, and then I want to get to something that I'm going to kind of do as like a mini main topic that I really want to get into. So, okay, next thing on the list, a game I am really, really looking forward to. Space Marine 2. I have been waiting for this game for, I think, actually a decade. So I love this game. I played it with all of my friends. I played, I think it was like way, way, way back. And I could not believe that there was going to be another Space Marine. And so there being another Space Marine gives me so much joy. And we haven't gotten a ton of details. We've gotten a couple of trailers here and there. But more details are starting to emerge as this game is supposedly coming out this year. And hopefully will not get delayed again. So pre-orders have officially gone on sale. And there are three different editions for Warhammer Space Marine. So there's obviously the standard edition, which is, you know, going to be just the base game. And there will be some pre-order bonuses included with the base game if you want to order it. That's priced at $70, standard AAA game. And then we also have the gold edition, which is $100. So with the gold edition, you get the full season's pass, which is, oh boy, there's a season's pass. So interesting. And And you also get, it looks like, 3 days early access starting on September 6th. So you can actually play the game early. I'm not really a big fan of that. If the season's pass is worth $30, cool. I'm not a big fan of, hey, pay to play our game 3 days early. Like, that's kind of silly to me. It's, I mean, I guess, like, for some people who absolutely cannot wait the 3 days, sure. And I guess that's where you're making your money off of. But, you know, for me, it's just like, you know, I watch a good amount of Hulu. And so I've kind of gotten the mental space of, like, I know if the show comes out Tuesday night, I can watch it on Wednesday. And so, like, do I really need a cable subscription so I can watch it live instead of just waiting less than 24 hours to watch it the next day? And so that's kind of how I feel about, you know, paying, especially 3 days is not, it's not like a month before. It's not like get access to the private beta or something like that. So that's a little disappointing for me. But moving right along to the third edition that is available for Space Marine 2, which costs $250. So you know there's got to be a statue in this bundle. So you're going to get in this bundle the collector's case with exclusive artwork. As they always bundle the artwork in here. You get Lieutenant Titus statue, which is an 8.25 inch by 6.7 inch resin statue. Actually, it looks pretty cool. I'll see if I can put it in the description in our YouTube video for those who are watching the video version of our podcast. It's a Space Marine holding a chainsword and then holding a Terminator at the same time. So it does look pretty badass. Probably not something you want to put in the living room, though. And then you get the official steelbook, which is, I'm sure, the physical version of the game. And then the art and making of Space Marine, which is a 172-page art book. So let me know. Let me know in the comments if you're interested in getting any of these three editions. I really love Space Marine. I don't know if I love it $250 worth or if I love it to play 3 days early. You know, that's a little much for me. And I forgot to mention, for the standard edition that is $70, if you just want to get the regular plain old edition, the pre-order bonus comes with McCarriage's Chosen DLC, and you'll get three extra cosmetics for the bolt rifle, the chainsword, and the power armor. So, some skins, and I guess one of the DLCs that's coming out. But that does not include the Season's Pass, which I'm guessing is the big incentive to get the gold edition. So yeah, for fans, Warhammer fans out there, I know a lot of people have been really into Darktide, and I know a lot of Warhammer fans have said, like, that really feels like the best Warhammer game out there, where you're just a soldier and you're not a Space Marine. But, you know, this is a Warhammer game too, and I know you're a Space Marine and everything like that, but this game does a great job of, like, immersing you in the Warhammer universe. And the fact that it's being done by the World War Z studio, with the scale of enemies that they were able to incorporate in their game, like, I'm really excited. So I'm really excited for this game. Hope it's good. Speaking of being really excited for a game, I know that there are a lot of Elden Ring fans out there that are stoked to the max about the Elden Ring DLC finally being given a date. So it looks like that Shadow of the Erdtree. I'm so sorry if I'm saying that wrong. I'm not a big Elden Ring player. Yes, that is launching on June 21st this year. And it says, prepare to face the rest of Melina's family. So Melina, famously, you know, the big famous boss in Elden Ring. So I guess she has other members of her family, and you will get to fight them. So I'm sure Let Me Solo Her will be making many more videos for those fans of Let Me Solo Her. A lot of excitement. I know Elden Ring fans have been clamoring about getting access or just finding out any information about this DLC coming out. It was also interesting that the studio mentioned that they currently had no plans to make Elden Ring 2, which is kind of weird just by how much success the game has had. I mean, I kind of love that because it can just live as like a classic, you know, game. But yeah, I guess maybe that's my American mentality of like, it was successful. Why aren't they making a sequel? But I'm sure that there's going to be like spiritual successors. I mean, really, Elden Ring was a spiritual successor to the Dark Souls games and to games like Bloodborne. And, you know, in that genre, you know, same studios, Sekiro, you know, could be thrown in there as well. And so, I hope people are excited for it. I hope that it's good. I'm sure people will love it, and I'm sure we'll get some good content, get some good videos from streamers out there who really enjoy playing it. So, all right, what else is going on? All right, oh, some more Baldur's Gate 3 news. So last week we talked about Baldur's Gate 3 had just gotten its big kissing update. I've updated the game myself. It was a 22 gigabyte update, which is pretty substantial for a game that's already pretty large. And so they got that update, and Larian actually got on, I believe it was Twitter or X, and started talking about how they don't usually talk about stuff that isn't ready yet, but this was the exception to the rule, and how they announced that Baldur's Gate 3 was going to be getting mod support, which is always something a big online community is going to want. People love mod support, and not only is it getting mod support, but it is getting cross-platform mod support, meaning that you don't just have to have Baldur's Gate on your PC to mod it. You could have it on PlayStation or Xbox. And so this is very exciting. We didn't get too many details around, what that is going to look like practically. But, you know, I know a lot of people who get intimidated by modding. They don't want to go into their files and adjust things. And I get that. It's kind of like what the Steam Workshop did for modding communities, where more casual people who are not, technically savvy, they can just go on the Steam Workshop and they can be like, I'm going to add this mod and add this mod and add this mod. And they don't have to. Steam just does it for them. And so I think, you know, obviously, there are a lot of Baldur's Gate 3 gamers who are very capable of modding the game without any assistance. But I think the way they're talking about it makes it seem like this is going to be a streamlined way to mod the game that is accessible to people who are not, like I said, technically savvy. So I think that's great news for the Baldur's Gate community. And frankly, there's a lot of stuff you can do with mods in that game, just thinking off the top of my head. So very, very exciting. All right, so let's get into kind of a mini main topic that I wanted to address. So I believe it was 2 weeks ago, two episodes ago, Phil and I were talking about how Xbox was going to have this press conference and they were going to talk about the future of Xbox. Particularly, this is all Phil Spencer, who you all know I'm a huge fan of. And Phil finally did his little, I don't know if I want to call it like a press event, because it was a podcast that was completely hosted by Xbox. They didn't really seem to have any external interviewers there, and it was posted. If you want to check out the interview, it's about 22-23 minutes long. It's over on the Xbox YouTube channel. So just go over to the Xbox YouTube channel, you can find the full interview. That way you don't have to take my word for it. You can go in there and make your own opinions. So I'll try to put that link in the description as well. But let's talk a little bit about it. So I kind of want to break this down, and obviously, like, I made a guess that, like, okay, Xbox is pivoting. There may not be another Xbox. And I think I'm going to stick to my guns here. I think that this little interview, this little press release that they did, I think it's smart business-wise. But they're kind of marketing this whole thing like it's good for gamers. And I don't know that it is good for gamers. I think that's how they're pushing their pivot. I don't know that that's actually what's happening in reality. So just to break down what Phil Spencer talked about a little bit, go through some bullet points. So essentially one of the big things is that there is going to be some exclusive Xbox games coming to PlayStation, coming to other platforms. And those games, let's back up a little bit. So there's going to be exclusive Xbox games coming to other platforms. And he was asked like, okay, well, like, why are you doing that? And he's like, well, who does it help when certain games are only on certain consoles and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, the point has been brought up of like, why is Helldivers not on Xbox? Why is it only on PlayStation and PC? And we'll get into the online campaign of Xbox players wanting Helldivers on their system. You know, I think that campaign kind of began because of this Phil Spencer interview. He goes on to talk about how the market is changing and that the industry needs to grow. And it really got the sense of they are just pushing Game Pass, which is a good product. And I like it's good for gaming and everything like that. Good for a gamer. But to me, this was the kind of soft public pivot to we're not going to be a hardware company anymore. We're going to act more like a publisher. We're going to be more like Ubisoft. Obviously on a much larger scale because of all the companies they acquired, but that's kind of what happened is Microsoft, when they don't win a certain market, they go in, they buy a company. They bought Activision Blizzard, okay? So they have all of those games. They got Overwatch, they got Diablo, you know, they got Call of Duty. They have those games in their repertoire now. And so they bought Bethesda. They have those games. And as third-party companies, as those companies used to be before they were owned by Microsoft, you know, they wanted to release on as many platforms as possible, because when you release on as many platforms as possible, you have the access to the biggest market. You have the potential to sell as much as possible because you're on every single platform. And Microsoft, after picking up all of these third-party companies, realized, oh, our money comes from PlayStation, because a lot of, you know, COD players are on PlayStation. Our money comes from, you know, these other sources. And by trying to buy these companies and then make them exclusive on our console, that's not going to work. And so I feel like they are pivoting to just a very publisher attitude. I feel like they want to be the Netflix of gaming. They want to have Game Pass and have that be it. But kind of this side talk slander of like, oh, I don't know who it helps when you have games that are exclusive on things. It's like, it helps push your consoles. And like, you know, you can say what you want, but you know, why is it that so many, we've gotten a couple of games over the last couple of years that have run better, you know, on consoles instead of running on PCs. And that's not in any way to say that a PC is less powerful than a console. It's like a PC is like, if you have the right hardware in it, and it's obviously going to be more expensive than a console, you know, your computer should be more powerful and should be able to run anything better than a console can. But everyone has different hardware out there. Not everyone has the same NVIDIA graphics card. Not everybody has the same Radeon graphics card. Not everyone has the same processor. And so when you're designing a game for a PC, you need to, you know, design your game in a way that it's going to work on all of these little different things made by all of these little different companies. And you have a lot more design control when I'm like, okay, I'm releasing this game for the PlayStation. I know exactly what specs are on the PlayStation, And so I can design this game for those specifications. And no matter what PS5 it is, no matter who it's owned by in any part of the world, I know that the inside of that PlayStation is going to be the same. And so I can have a standard of running the game that the PC cannot necessarily have. I'm not trying to get the PC heads mad at me. I probably play the most video games on PC. You know, I do have a PlayStation that I use. And then I am playing Helldivers on because, again, it was a Sony game. And I was like, I know it's going to run well on PlayStation. I'm going to get it on PlayStation. I think we saw this last year with Jedi Fallen Order. Jedi Fallen Order ran better on consoles than it did on PC. Even if you have an incredibly powerful PC for whatever reason, just ran better on consoles because of that design that I was just talking about. So I think this is, anyway, to try to get back, I don't have Phil to reel me in here. to try to get back to what I was talking about with the Phil Spencer interview, I think it was very smart marketing. You know, I think they want to have Xbox Game Pass on as many different things as possible, but that's what they want Xbox to be. They want it to be Game Pass. And I think that they could release another Xbox console. They could, but it's not really something that they're gunning for. I think that Phil Spencer has commented several times on how they lost the last console war. Which was the PS4, you know, the Xbox One generation. And the thing about that is like, you know, you guys didn't try and you also made bad games that generation. So, you know, you lost it because you made bad games. You lost it because you made a bunch of Halo games everybody didn't like. You lost it because you regurgitated the Gears of War series. I love Halo. I love Gears of War. But you can't keep regurgitating the same game, putting it out and expecting people to be like, oh, wow, this is so new, but yet the exact same thing. And so I just feel like they are in the pickle that they're in, and they've recognized that, and they're like, okay, we're going to stop pushing and competing from a hardware perspective, and we want to go to a completely digital platform because that's where the world is right now. And they brought up games like Roblox, they brought up games like Fortnite, you know, and Minecraft, and like how they're all on these different platforms and everything. And it's like, yeah, that's interesting, and like it's good for those games, but those are simplistic, you know, especially simplistic graphically, the simplistic games. Those are games that can be, I mean, yeah, I don't want to say Fortnite is, you know, Fortnite, there's a lot of nuance and pro players out there. I'm not trying to insult you at all. But as far as like, you know, like let's stick to Roblox. Like Roblox is on everything, but that's because an iPad can run Roblox, you know, an iPad can't run Helldivers 2. Nor would I want to play Helldivers 2 on an iPad. So, like, I don't know. I'm disappointed because I think what this kind of means is Microsoft is not really interested in making good games. They are interested in buying companies so that they can take some of the market share back from Sony. And I think that's an interesting strategy. But it doesn't mean that Microsoft's going to put out good games. It doesn't mean that Microsoft's going to fix Halo Infinite or anything like that. So I am a little disappointed, and I know I rag on Xbox and Microsoft a lot. And the thing is like I want the company to put out good things. And I think if they put out good games, I think that's good for gamers in general, even like people who are obsessed with playing on PlayStation. Because if they put out good games, PlayStation's going to have to rise to the occasion. They're going to have to meet the competition as opposed to just dominating the space, which is what Xbox has completely done and like given up on trying to even compete. Instead, they're just going to, you know, buy Bethesda and claim they made Starfield. So, you know, stuff like that. I mean, they claim that they made Minecraft, and people don't remember. They bought Minecraft. They didn't make Minecraft. They bought it. So, anyway, that's the big thing that I wanted to talk about, but let's kind of semi-pivot into talking about this online campaign for people wanting Helldivers to come to Xbox platforms. One, we're having server problems. And as I just explained, it's not a question of space. It's a question of the back end of the game needs to be redesigned and edited to account for the amount of people trying to actively be in the game. So if we opened the floodgates, we would make the servers all that much worse. Number two, Sony's not on board with this, like, oh, we're going to be on every platform. They've just warmed up to putting stuff on PC. I think this was the first PC Sony launch that actually occurred at the exact same time as on PlayStation, like with the God of War games, with Spider-Man, with Horizon. Those games did come to PC, Last of Us, but they came much later as a delayed release. So this is really the first time that they've gone, like, I would say, like, committed to, like, a cross-platform release. So I really don't see Sony putting it on Xbox, unfortunately, for the Xbox players out there. But for the Xbox players out there, if you don't own a PlayStation, that's totally fine. Just play it on a computer. Play it on a computer, you know? And if you don't own a gaming computer, I am sorry. You know, one day you will, I promise. One day you will own a gaming computer and you will be able to play Helldivers, I assure you. I don't really think it's going to happen, but you never know. You never know. But I think that kind of the want that's coming out of this is, like, I don't know, it kind of feels like what Halo should feel like, you know, where it's, okay, what if I was playing as the soldiers in Halo instead of Master Chief? And, like, you get the sense of, like, you're really in a war, you're really in a battlefield, but it's space, you know, it's not another regurgitated, like, World War II, you know, which, like, I enjoy a lot of World War II games, but it as a genre has just been, there's just been so much that it's like having this Starship Trooper vibe, this Terminator vibe that this game has is such a welcome, like, oh, this is like I'm in a war in a movie. I'm not, you know, in a war at a historical event, which is its own, like, cool thing on its own. But it's really capturing that idea of, like, being in a battle with your buddies. And I think that's kind of how, you know, people felt when they were fighting the Flood in the old Halo games. You know, it's kind of how people felt, you know, when they were, you know, playing Gears of War and doing the battles in Gears of War. I was talking to Phil about this, of, like, the stratagems and calling down, like, orbital strikes and stuff like that in Helldivers 2. And, like, usually those moments only happen once or twice, like, in a game. Where, like, in Gears of War, you got, like, the Hammer of Dawn was, like, the closest thing to being able to call in a stratagem in that game. And you can only use it during certain points in that game, or when the game made it available to you. So it's, I hear you, I get it, and I just want to say, like, I am so thrilled with the Helldivers community and the gaming community in general for, like, really getting behind Helldivers. Like, you see all this news from the Battlefront that it's all, like, you know, creator-driven content, has nothing to do with Arrowhead putting out press releases, of, like, people talking about the war, people suffering in Malevolon Creek. Hearts out to you, Helldivers fighting in Malevolon Creek. Just get off the planet. We'll take it back. We're not ready to take it back yet. We need to regroup. So I'm loving the online community. Keep posting, people, because I'm getting nonstop Helldivers content, and it's hilarious and entertaining. And I really like that this is a game that is completely cooperative, and there's really no griefers in the game. And for those who don't know what a griefer is, maybe it's a little bit of an older gamer term if I'm aging myself a little bit, but, like, griefers are people who, like, when you're playing on a team or playing a cooperative game, they come into the game and they just, because friendly fire would be on, they just kill everybody. and they're just there to, you know, ruin your time or piss you off or to troll. And there's really no griefing that I've seen that takes place in Hell. I'm sure there's exceptions to the rule, but there's not a lot. Whenever I play with just randos online, like, everybody's willing to help, everybody's willing to listen and to learn, and I think that that's awesome. And it's good to have a game that the entire Gamerverse is like rallying around, that is cooperative, and we're not trying to, you know, be better and compete and insult and troll. We're trying to just get through the battle. We're trying to win the galactic war. And so I think that that's, I think it's fantastic. And I think the whole galactic war system, Arrowhead, fantastic job. So, all right. I've talked a lot about Helldivers. So we'll leave it there. I'm going to see if I have any more thoughts. Yesterday I did a test stream for Deep Rock Survivor, which is one of the games that came out this week. Not really a lot of releases, but I do want to mention Deep Rock Survivor because I think it's outsold Deep Rock Galactic, which is crazy to me, but I'm pretty sure it was at, I want to say like 50 million, or excuse me, it was at 50,000 streams on Twitch for a top-down game where the only controls in the game are move around. So I love the Deep Rock aesthetic. If you're playing Helldivers, it's an aesthetic you really like because it's, you know, fighting more bugs. And so the game's been doing really well. I did a stream yesterday just for a couple of rounds, test things out. I think we might start doing some live shows on the YouTube Live now that we've been approved for that. And we might do some live streams over on our Twitch channel. So be sure to find us over on Twitch. We go by the same name. It's Golden Glazed Gaming. I'll try to put all of our other social links in the description, as well as like having some icons in this video for you guys to go and like and subscribe and help us out. So, but speaking of which, please like this video, subscribe to our channel. We are at 280 subscribers, trying to get to 300 would be fantastic. It would really help us out. And if you are listening to the audio version of this podcast, you're probably over on Spotify, so please give us a Spotify review or like, or just download this video instead of just streaming it. It helps us out in the algorithm. So but I think that's probably it for this week. We got a good just over 40 minute episode, me by myself, so hopefully it's a little bit of a different vibe without Phil here, but we'll get Phil back here next week, so we can have some different perspectives. But thank you all for listening, and I hope the Helldivers 2 servers work this weekend.